That's Indeed.com/offer. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Welcome back, NFL. You get a concussion, and you get a concussion, and you get a concussion.
I got it. Fine. Let me have it. I got it. Fine. Let me have it. I got it.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
On the first down carry, the Hawkeyes have Marcus Storm taking it untouched into the end zone. So for the second consecutive week, the sophomore, DeWitt Iowa, a former walk-off. He's a good luck charm, isn't he? He's in the end zone again.
People ask me all the time what my favorite memory from the Iowa-Iowa State series is. And that's it right there. There's nothing like seeing a kid that you grew up with scoring a touchdown in the Cy-Hawks series. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show, a September 7th edition Thursday. We've got a good show lined up for you today. Alex Kuhn alongside our producer Kyle Mann will team up and get you to 7 o'clock tonight. Some of you are going to get to hear high school football from Kingston Stadium. Others of you will hear NFL action. Week 1 gets underway tonight with the Patriots playing host to the Kansas City Chiefs. And Roger Goodell could be in for a rather interesting night at Gillette Stadium. We'll tell you a little bit about that coming up. Lots of Iowa news to get to today, including some men's basketball news, where you can watch the Hawkeyes on TV this winter. Big game for the Cedar Rapids Colonels last night. Colonels win over the Kane County Cougars. It was a little bit of a white-knuckle ride there until Jimmy Kerrigan came through in the eighth inning, drove home Lewin Diaz. So the Colonels hit the road tonight for Kane County. They just need one win either tonight or tomorrow, and they're advancing to the Midwest League's Western Division Finals against, at this point, looks like it could be the Peoria Chiefs. They beat the Quad Cities River Bandits last night by a score of 3-2. And so we'll keep our eyes on that series. Certainly there may be still some baseball left to be played at Veterans Memorial Stadium. What's up, Alex? Are you ready for our... We've got a fantasy football draft tonight, and we have to start it while we're on the air, which is not ideal, but I'm the commissioner of the league. I guess I have nobody to blame but myself. That's the bad news for the listeners. The good news is you're not going to hear anything about it because we're not going to talk about it on the air.
We're not going to talk about it on the air, and we are masters of multitasking. So
that being said, I bet I talk about it on the air. Something will happen that will... What happens first tonight? Someone makes a bad pick, someone makes a pick that needs to be made fun of, or somebody has an issue and wants me to stop the draft in the middle of the show and solve the... They're on their own.
Someone's going to make a bad pick first.
They're on their own.
I've been a part of this league for a couple of years, and there are some good fantasy football players.
There
are some weak ones like myself that make bad picks, and then there's the good, the bad, and the ugly that comes with this league. I'll make a bad pick.
Last night, I was in a league with some Daly Iowan alumni, and I'm not naming any names, but somebody selected Tom Brady in the first round.
Mm.
That's okay, because I had the 12th pick and the wraparound, and I'm not going to argue.
Who'd you get?
I got Devontae Freeman and Jordy Nelson with the 12th and 13th pick.
And judging by the fact that we got Jordy Nelson with the 7th overall pick in our 10-team
league?
Well,
that was PPR. This is
a standard league. You're right.
I reached out to Tristan Cockcroft at ESPN.com today, and I told him of my good fortune last night. I was able to get one of those good running backs. We promise we won't bore you with too much fantasy football talk today. You would probably like to know who and what we've got coming up for you on the show today. It is, of course, Iowa State Week. The Cy-Hawks series looms large over every sports talk station in Iowa this week. We're going to be hitting both fronts once again. Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com will be with us in the 5 o'clock hour tonight, and Scott Docterman from the Land of 10 covering all things Iowa Hawkeye with us in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. We've got tickets for you to Get the Lead Out next week at the Paramount Theater. Be listening between now and 7 o'clock tonight for your chance to win there. And remember this number, 319-366-1600. Oh, by the way, Cubs won last night. They beat Pittsburgh 1-0. 4 games in front of St. Louis now, 4.5 in front of the Brewers in the National League Central. We may touch on a little baseball, but as you can imagine, we will be football heavy today on the program. A little bit of Hawkeye football news today. They got a verbal commitment from a Nebraska high school player who's going to be joining the program as a preferred walk-on, Connor Ruth. No, he is not from the Tri-Cities area, Alex. Do not bother to ask me that. Thank you very much. 23 former Hawkeyes in the NFL. This year, 23 former Iowa players made the 53-man rosters of various NFL teams, including Cole Crosston with the New England Patriots, who get things kicked off tonight. You will hear that game right here on KGYM along with high school football, depending on which one of the frequencies you enjoy the program on. 106.3 FM, our South Gym in Iowa City, which we will be in Iowa City tomorrow for the KGYM road trip. Very much looking forward to another big hour brought to you by our friends at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the 6 o'clock hour featuring Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. And tomorrow, Iowa's all-time leading receiver, Marvin McNutt, set to join us as well, get things kicked off the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Alex and me will be there beginning at 4 o'clock, 749 Mormon Trek Boulevard. Stop on in. Today's Emil's Hideaway poll question, you may have noticed a theme this week. They're all Iowa, Iowa State related. And we ask you today, will there ever be a break in the Cy-Hawk series? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's and next to the Home Depot. Iowa and Iowa State currently scheduled to play every season through the 2023 calendar year. And I think the logical answer there is no, there will not be a break in the series, but stranger things have probably happened. Now, Iowa State revealed via Twitter today what they'll be wearing on Saturday against the Hawkeyes. They're going with is it gray or silver? I'll call it gray uniform tops with the red helmets.
Metallic gray.
Metallic gray. Okay.
Gray, silver.
And
either
again,
way.
I got confused. Semantics. I got confused because at the end of it was a two-sentence post on Twitter, and the last sentence said, beat the toe. But none of the letters on toe were capitalized, nor were there periods indicating that it was an abbreviation. And I was very perplexed about what that particular part of the anatomy has to do with. And then somebody kind of gently reminded me on Twitter, team out east.
Beat toe.
Beat the toe. It's not exactly the greatest of battle cries. Remember the main. That's a good one. That's a good rallying cry. Beat the toe. Okay. Now you're stretching it. This whole team out east thing, those guys in Ames, we talk about it, it adds a little bit to the rivalry, but at some point in time, does it not cross into the land of just
lame,
becoming a caricature, sort of cartoonish?
Yes, it does. I think it's already crossed over into that land, but it is new, so I still think it's fresh.
At 4:14 on Thursday, mark it down, the official time where we now are completely over talking about Iowa, Iowa State, and just want this week to be done with. Let's head to the phone lines, 319-366-1600, batting leadoff for us tonight. You know him as Sonny in Iowa City, and hey, what a coincidence, so do we. Sonny, what's up?
So I have to follow the we are officially done talking about this topic that I'm about to talk about. That's glorious.
Well, no, I said we were over it. It doesn't mean we're not talking about it. I'm just over it.
Yeah, you don't have a choice. You're
yeah, exactly.
About this until the week is over. Beat the toe is probably the worst battle cry I think I have ever heard. I mean, you have your choice between break the rock and beat the toe. I will break the rock every single time on that. That's ridiculous. With regards to Iowa, Iowa State, I know I'm always the voice of reason, so I'm going to try to step out today, and I will say that our run game, which was my favorite part of the offense in the first week, will hopefully really, we dominate the line of scrimmage. I would love nothing more than to see a significant win in the trenches. As far as will the game take a break, I think the answer is yes. I mean, I have already heard arguments as to why they shouldn't play this game from an Iowa standpoint, as far as rankings and all the other garbage that doesn't really matter unless you go 11-0 and take care of all your own business. But yeah, I could see that. If I had to bet, you know, in the next 30 years, yeah, they took a break before on it. So why not do it again? I hope they don't. I love the rivalry game, but I could definitely see that happening.
Appreciate the phone call, Sonny. You can follow him, 319-366-1600. I just took a look at my Twitter. You can follow me, at Todd Brommelkamp. It appears perhaps Marcus Schnorr was listening to the start of the program today. He said that's also his favorite memory from the series. Coach Ferentz took him out because he didn't want to ruin his average. That was the 2003 game. Iowa won that rather handily at Jack Trice Stadium. There have been some memorable trips over there. That was memorable for me because obviously there's a little bit of a personal connection there. But I think the best game in the series was the one from a couple years ago where you go three overtimes. That's 44-41, and I don't care what you say about who won the game. I think a lot of Iowa fans will admit that that was an entertaining game, even though Iowa wound up being on the wrong end of the final result. I remember we were down on the field for the final couple minutes of regulation and then for overtime and turning to Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com and saying, this is an all-timer right here. Now, then there's some other, you know, 9-7, 10, whatever the...
The 9-6 game was 9-6. One of the ugliest games I've seen.
Is that Shaggy Culbertson? I can't remember which kicker. The Iowa State kickers have tended to be a thorn in the side of both Iowa and Iowa State, their own team, over the course of this series in the last 15, 20 years. But that game, yeah, that one isn't going to be played in the College Football Hall of Fame anytime soon of the all-time greatest college football games. But I think I have a feeling. I've got a really good feeling that we are in for an entertaining close football game on Saturday in Ames. And I really have no clue how this is going to play out. And unfortunately, I've got to make a prediction, and I already have. And you can read it in the Cedar Rapids Gazette on Saturday morning. You can hear it on Before the Boom, our pregame show, which airs at 9 a.m. on our FM frequencies, 106.3 in Iowa City, 107.5 in Cedar Rapids. Somebody on the text line reminded me last year that I said, you got to trust your gut. And last year I said Iowa was going to win big. And I'm trusting my gut this year. And I ate a late lunch today. I should probably let my gut settle down before I say anything more about this. But we're talking about it tomorrow at the Coach's Corner, too. We're talking about it today as well. And as we mentioned in the building earlier today, what's next week going to look like? Because this week, even though it's a truncated week with Labor Day on Monday, this will be now three shows where it's primarily Iowa State is the driving topic. And even if it's not necessarily, we have broken no new ground with this series for the most part, other than the fact that Matt Campbell and Brian Ferentz have kind of gotten into this verbal whizzing match back and forth, and that's escalated. But everything else we've talked about this week is stuff that we talk about every year during the Iowa State week. And yet, everybody wants to hear it. Everybody wants to let their opinions be known on it. It's a self-driving force. So we get 4 days of talking about Iowa State, and we get 5 days of talking about Iowa and North Texas next week. That's not fair. But what can you do?
Iowa, North Texas.
And without Dan McCarney on the sidelines, at least the last time that they were in Kinnick Stadium, you had Andrew McNulty, who was a former City High quarterback out of Iowa City, who was quarterbacking the Mean Green, and you had Dan McCarney, one of the most, I feel, one of the most compelling figures in the Iowa-Iowa State rivalry, coaching on the sideline for the Mean Green. This time you have nothing next week.
But God, that team was bad.
But I will say this.
That team was horrible.
I will say this. And they were bad. And McCartney didn't last the entire season there. He was out of a job. If Iowa loses this game on Saturday, I know what we're talking about most of next week. If they win, God help us all, because no one wants to talk about an Iowa team that has beaten Iowa State going into a game against North Texas. There will be very little to discuss. But if they lose, and I don't like talking about this fantasy football league too much on the air, because I know it bores the absolute bejesus out of people. It even bores me. But this league last night is all former Daily Iowan people. Everybody has a tie to the Daily Iowan. Not necessarily that we all worked together at the same time. It's sort of a cross-generational thing. Guys that were there before me, some guys who were there after me. And as such, there are a lot of Iowa fans who are in the league. And on the message function last night, all of a sudden, between two of the guys, it turns into who dislikes Kirk Ferentz more. And they're going back and forth on, he should have been fired 4 years ago, and this and this. And I thought, okay, this is good. This is insight into, there are actually people out there who I know to be sane and rational human beings who feel this way. And I'm watching it, and I'm sitting there, and I'm sort of waiting for, you know, my picks to come through and come on. Christian McCaffrey fall to me. I didn't get him again last night. And so I'm watching the players be taken over on the left-hand side of the screen, and then on the right, I'm watching Rome burn to the ground as these two guys are, and there were a couple other guys that I know who were basically trying to be the voice of reason, saying, look, if they fired him 4 years ago, who comes in? Who does a better job? He's a great human being, represents the university well, wins. Talking about the salary and talking about his record against Iowa State. Those were the two things that these two guys in the Fantasy Football League last night wanted to use as a club against Ferentz. And
are these two guys Iowa natives? Do you know that?
I don't know that for a fact, but I know that they went to Iowa and they wrote at the Daily Iowa, and they're Hawkeye fans. And I just, okay, his record against Iowa State isn't great, but he's a good football coach, and he's not going anywhere because of the contract. And we talked about this yesterday on the show. The podcast is available at kgymradio.com. What the 9-9 record for Kirk Ferentz in 18 years against Iowa State means. And I think the best text we got on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line was from the texter that says, I really don't care about 9-9, but I will be angry if it's 9-10. And I'll be happy if it's 10-9. They care about this year and this year only. 9-9 is what it is. And that goes back to the other tired trope from earlier this week, whether or not Iowa puts enough emphasis on this game. Again, I say this all the time, this is like Groundhog Day. Because I feel every year, second week of the season, we wake up and we're talking about the same storylines over and over again. What's Kirk Ferentz's record against Iowa State? Should this series continue? Should they take a break from it? What team cares more than the other? And thank you very much for that.
Which team's Super Bowl is this game?
The Super Bowl.
3193. No, I kid. Please.
The Super Bowl thing probably comes up tomorrow, if I remember my previous Iowa State years and weeks correctly. I think the which team's Super Bowl is this poll question could be used tomorrow. 424, I'm being somewhat facetious, but please vote in the KGYM radio poll question today with regard to what we're asking you. Kyle is on the other side of the glass. He's going to be joining us here in the studio shortly. He'll have your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. May run down some of those Iowa basketball games. 8 games set to be broadcast on the ESPN family of networks this year, including the Iowa-Iowa State men's basketball game. That's going to be an ESPN2 broadcast. And I know a lot of people are looking forward to that, because one fan base has been bragging about how good it is at basketball this week, because they lost 42-3 in football last year. And if it happens that Iowa State wins the football game on Saturday and Iowa wins the basketball game this winter, then it's going to be, the shoe will be on the other foot for the next 365 days. I know it. But just a reminder to those of you that want to talk about basketball, this is a football game being played on Saturday. So you should probably stick to the results of the series from a football standpoint. 366-1600. You don't need, Iowa State fans don't need basketball. They have recent history on their side, and they're still not comfortable enough with their football program that they can use that as a crutch. They've got to go to basketball. You've got recent history on your side, and yet some of you still want to make this, what's the basketball rivalry look like? That and $1.50 will get you a cup of coffee somewhere. Who cares? 426, we'll step aside. We come back, as we mentioned, Kyle's going to be here with our first big board update of the day. NFL kicks off tonight. We'll dive into a little bit of our predictions for that as well here before we hit the top of the hour and head on to hour number two. Brent Bloom, CycloneFanatic.com, set to join us at 5 o'clock tonight. You're listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show here on KGYM.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier football team went 2-0 on the young season with a 16-0 shutout win over the Linmar Lions last Friday. Quarterback Quinn Schulte threw for over 108 yards and a touchdown to Gabe Lux, and the defense recorded a safety as well as the shutout. The Class 3A number one rated Saints host unbeaten Benton Community this Friday night to open district play. The Class 4A number 2 rated Xavier volleyball team went 4-1 in last Saturday's Warrior Invitational and finished tied for third in the meet. The Saints fell to Class 3A number 1 rated Dyke New Hartford in the semifinals. The Saints then swept Waterloo West on Tuesday night in MVC play 3-0. Olivia Richards had 10 kills to pace the Saints. Xavier plays at the Northscott Invitational on Saturday.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Easy as apple pie. Easy as falling off a log. Easy as 1, 2, 3. That's how easy it is to earn the power rate in ATM fee refunds with Power Checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of Power Checking said they'd recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with Power Checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
Now, I like this 9621 pointing out on the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line that if you change TOE, T-O-E, to T-O-W, then it's Team Out West.
Works both ways.
And so if Iowa wanted a really crappy acronym, they could also just co-opt it and change one of the letters.
I prefer TGA.
You're going to have to help me out on that
one.
Those guys and names. We needed this series to get slightly more ridiculous, and that's where we're at in 2017. Cyclone Tim, by the way, has been extremely active on the text line. Iowa fans are hilarious. You are so quick to get rid of Coach Ferentz. You could end up with a Kreiner or a Walden, and then you'll be talking about the glory days that you had with Kirk Ferentz. The grass isn't always greener. And another texter is pointing out, I think it's an Iowa State fan, I can't tell, I didn't have a chance to take too deep of a dive, but as they pointed out, Iowa State was quick to move on from Dan McCarney and have been trying to get back to that point ever since. McCarney wasn't exactly Vince Lombardi out there, but he got Iowa State to the point where they were winning 6 or 7 games and occasionally going to bowl games. And that's where Matt Campbell would like to get Iowa State back. And in order to do that, he needs a big win. And he would very much like for that win to come Saturday. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell continues to garner recognition for his 14-tackle, 2-sack performance against Wyoming last weekend, today receiving the Lott Impact Trophy Player of the Week. This award is in addition to Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, Walter Camp National Defensive Player of the Week, and the Bednarik Award Player of the Week. The Iowa men's basketball team released its TV schedule today, announcing it will play on BTN 14 times, the first of which will be hosting Penn State on December 2nd, on an ESPN platform 8 times, including the Cy-Hawk game in Ames on December 7th, as well as on FS1 twice and BTN Plus and BTN To Go 6 times. The Colonels claimed Game 1 of their Midwest League Western quarterfinal last night 6-5. Lewin Diaz fittingly scored the go-ahead run on a single by Jimmy Kerrigan in the 8th. He also led the team with 3 doubles and 4 RBI. The series moves to Kane County tonight, and the Colonels have a chance to clinch the best-of-3 series with ace Clark Beaker on the mound, taking on Sam McWilliams beginning at 6:35. Tonight after the show, we've got Scott Unash on the call for Dubuque-Hempstead and Cedar Rapids Kennedy at Veterans Memorial Stadium. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And we've also got the inaugural regular season game of the new NFL year. That's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the defending world champion New England Patriots on 106.3 and 107.5 FM. And all of that will begin right after our show.
Not quite ready to pull the trigger on Mike Gillisley in the Patriots' backfield tonight. Let's wait and see what happens in week number 2. We'll talk a little NFL when we return after this.
We're going to head to a bottom-of-the-hour Sports Center update, which is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. They're celebrating 12 years of service.
Hi, I'm Steve Anderson. Since I grew up 10 minutes from Kinnick Stadium, I've been obsessing over Iowa athletics since birth. Hawkeye teams stand for maximum effort on every play. We founded Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services on some of those same principles. Provide efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services, whether you're buying or selling a commercial property or buying your first home. We'll also make it a pleasant and fun transaction. Hawkeye Title and Settlement Services, 568 Highway 1 West in Iowa City. The team you love, the people you trust.
ESPN app. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. The 98th NFL season opens tonight in New England with the Patriots raising their 5th Super Bowl banner before kicking off against the Kansas City Chiefs. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports Bengals linebacker Vontaze Burfict will sign a 3-year extension worth almost $39 million. And as the new season starts, the footballs themselves will be a bit different. Every ball will have a chip that provides stats about speed and spin. Eventually, the hope is those chips will be able to spot the football to help with first downs, touchdowns, and out-of-bounds plays. The Indians will try for a franchise record 15th straight win tonight against the White Sox in Chicago. They'll also try to finish off a perfect 11-0 road trip. The Diamondbacks have won a franchise record 13 in a row. Arizona opens a homestand against the Padres tomorrow night in Phoenix. Today, the Yankees beat the Orioles 9-1. Aaron Judge hits home run number 39. The NBA is considering changes for the lottery. Commissioner Adam Silver wants to de-incentivize tanking and give teams with better records a chance at the number one pick.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Progressive presents Mindflowness with Flo.
You feel yourself getting lighter with each Progressive discount. Paperless, safe driver, multi-car. Yes, lighter, like a new line of sneakers. Or a slugger on a crash diet the week before spring training. Stay away from the cheesecake.
Ascend to a higher plane of insurance with Progressive. Visit Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
We've reached it, the point where the only way to make Tuesdays any better is by having more boneless wings. That's why here at Buffalo Wild Wings, we've invented Boneless Tuesdays. It's a celebration where if you order boneless wings at full price, you'll get another of the same size for free. This works for dine-in or takeout. Every little bit counts. And on Tuesdays, every boneless wing counts as two. Buffalo Wild Wings. Wings. Beer. Sports.
Prices and participation vary. Valid only on Tuesdays while supplies last. Tax and gratuity extra. Additional restrictions apply. See participating location for details.
Look, I get it. You're Mark Teixeira, former All-Star first baseman. You want tickets on the first baseline. And your beloved former catcher, David Ross. You'd rather be behind the plate. Or check out the view from the center field seats. You know, where I hit my Game 7 home run.
Too many choices of where I hit home runs.
409 choices to be exact. No matter which seats are right for you, it's easy to find them at Vivid Seats. Millions of tickets, 100% buyer guarantee. Find your seats at Vivid Seats.
See guarantee terms at Vivid Seats.
Napa Know How.
When you purchase a set of Napa brake pads and rotors, you get a discount code from Fanatics.com worth up to $50 towards your favorite sports gear. While Napa can't help your team reach the promised land, we can help make sure your car will, because these brakes come with something no sports team does: guaranteed performance. Great brakes, great price, great fan gear. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
Offer expires September 30th, 2017.
I can make fun of that because that was a national commercial, right? The Vivid Seats. What? Who is in charge? Who's the ad director there that says, who can we get to pitch our product? Let's get David Ross and Mark Teixeira. Okay, Ross, I understand. He did the Dancing with the Stars, and but he played still for the Cubs and the Red Sox. Mark Teixeira is sort of like, I guess, the most recent generation's version of Dave Kingman. Not exactly a guy that I'd be like, yeah, that's a great pitch man. Household name. You know, baseball fans know him. Mark Teixeira. Let's get Mark. We've got a budget of $7,100. We can bring in two former major league players. Who do you bring in? David Ross and Mark Teixeira. Welcome back to the Todd Brownell Camp Show, coming your way until 7 o'clock tonight. High school football on the way tonight from Kingston Stadium. Scott Unash will have the call there. Others of you will hear the Patriots and the Chiefs as week one of the NFL season gets underway. This is, I think, going to be amazing tonight if they pull this off. I know there's a lot of people out there that are not fans of the Barstool Sports website, and a lot of the stuff that they do there I can do without. But there's other things that they do that I look at and I appreciate, and this is going to be chaos tonight. If you recall, last year they had a T-shirt with the likeness of Roger Goodell wearing a clown nose. It was a powder blue shirt, and I think it was Matt Patricia, the Patriots defensive coordinator, who got off the plane after winning the Super Bowl, and he was wearing the Roger Goodell clown face T-shirt.
And some of them wore it during the parade as well, right?
Yes. So the guys from Barstool Sports are going to be at Gillette Stadium tonight. They have handed out 60,000 terrible towel versions of the Roger Goodell clown face meme, and they're handing another 10,000 out. They're hoping to have 70,000 people in Gillette Stadium waving the Roger Goodell clown face towels tonight with the commissioner there in attendance. Now, the NFL and Goodell have tried to do an end run around this. They're wrapping up a lot of his stuff that he's doing, his ceremonial stuff as commissioner. They're going to do much of it before most of the fans are in the stands. There also will be no cutaway shots, according to the story that I read online today at Sports Illustrated, of Goodell in the stadium. They're not going to put him on the video board. And they're also, he is not going to be in Robert Kraft's suite. Robert Kraft gets shown a lot at Patriots games, and they don't want, I don't think Robert Kraft probably wants Roger Goodell hanging out in his suite with him anyway.
Remember when they were like best friends?
Yes, I do. I do. And
he was in his Roger Goodell was in Robert Kraft's suite all the time.
Here's the thing that I don't understand about Roger Goodell, because when you're a commissioner, you essentially serve at the beck and call of the owners. And who are the two owners that he has upset the most? Robert Kraft, who owns the most successful franchise in the league, and now he's on Jerry Jones's bad side. You could argue the most popular franchise in the league. They are America's team. They'll let you know about it. The Dallas Cowboys. If I'm Roger Goodell, I don't know if that's the best strategy in the world. Because if enough of the owners get together and decide they don't want you around anymore, you're out of a job. But I get it. He's marching to the beat of his own drum. He makes decisions that just have me scratching my head occasionally. The Ezekiel Elliott thing that's going on right now, the fact that they can't settle on how many games to suspend someone for domestic violence, and the way that he's handled a lot of the issues that have come up in the past. I'm certainly no fan of Roger Goodell. What I am a fan of is chaos. And I think it's going to be complete, utter chaos tonight, because Patriots fans hate, with a capital H, Roger Goodell. And they're not going to let him forget about it. Deflategate and some of the comments that he's made. And I'm looking forward to seeing this just absolutely devolve into some sort of raucous frat party there at Gillette Stadium tonight. And the Patriots, by the way, I think the last time I looked, 9.5-point favorite over the Chiefs. I would lean hard on New England to cover up the number tonight. It's a lot of points. Kansas City, you got Kareem Hunt in the backfield, although resident Kansas City Chief expert Scott Unash thinks that sure, Kendrick West is still going to have a big role in that offense. I like New England big tonight, and you can hear it right here on KGYM. That being said, Alex, I will ask you, a man with no NFL team anymore because his hometown team left him, but as someone who still follows...
I can pick one, right?
Still follows the NFL.
I'm a resident Iowa fan. Iowa person now. I'm an Iowan, so I can choose whatever team I want.
I will let you borrow my Casey Kreider jersey anytime that you want to be a Denver Bronco tag-along. How about that? I'll give you the choice of, let's say, the Patriots against the rest of the field this year. Who's winning the Super Bowl?
That's tough, because I think that the Patriots are the clear-cut favorite to win again. But it's so difficult to go back-to-back. Last year, the New England Patriots won the Super Bowl without Rob Gronkowski for most of the year. They've gone to, well, they went 11-5 without Tom Brady, one of the greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game. The system that Bill Belichick has established there, it's amazing. And despite losing Julian Edelman in the preseason to an ACL tear, they're at least, I think, going to be in the Super Bowl. And you look at the NFC and you just wonder, who's going to dethrone them? The Seattle Seahawks are a popular pick, but they don't they have not been the same without Marshawn Lynch. Their offensive line is deteriorating. They've had some injury issues on defense. Earl Thomas has missed a lot of the last couple of seasons with injuries, and I don't think they have the offense to do it. The Atlanta Falcons, what are they going to look like? Will they have a huge Super Bowl hangover after the collapse they had on the biggest stage? I think it's very possible. And will there be a team like the Giants or the Panthers? Will they bounce back? The Green Bay Packers, do they have enough to get over the hump?
No.
There are a lot of questions in the NFC, and I guess right now, if you're asking me, Todd, I'm taking the New England Patriots over the field if I'm making a bet or a wager in Vegas.
There are a couple guys that people think will be this year's Ezekiel Elliott. Who, if you had to buy stock in Leonard Fournette or Christian McCaffrey this year, which one player would you be investing in? Who's got the better chance to maybe turn in that type of rookie campaign?
Todd, I think we're both in agreement on this. It's Christian McCaffrey. You brought it up yesterday. Ron Rivera has a special package that he's going to use for Christian McCaffrey, who is just the jack of all trades. He's a running back. He's a slot receiver. He can run between the tackles. He has speed. He's shifty. And he's the check down target that Cam Newton has been looking for since he came into the league. And I really think that the Carolina Panthers are one of those teams that could bounce back after a disappointing season last year because of Christian McCaffrey. Leonard Fournette, I know I've seen a lot of people drafting him early in fantasy football drafts. The Jacksonville Jaguars I always hesitate to think that a young player who might be one of the few weapons that the Jacksonville Jaguars will be able to utilize because of their quarterback issues. I know they have Allen Robinson and Allen Hurns, and they have some weapons at receiver, but unless you have a quarterback to get them the ball, none of it matters. Teams are going to key on Leonard Fournette, and Leonard Fournette was injured for a lot of his career at LSU. I just have a hard time buying any stock in Leonard Fournette, especially with that team.
319-366-1600. The text line says, no Julian Edelman, no Super Bowl for the Patriots.
Who's the bigger loss, Todd? Julian Edelman or Rob Gronkowski?
Oh, I think Rob Gronkowski, because he's a freak of nature.
Correct.
And they were able to get there last year without him. This will be the year that Bill Belichick truly proves to everybody how great he is if the Patriots are able to get back to the Super Bowl and do it with Brandon Cooks is a great receiver, big-time playmaker who had some moments in New Orleans, but everybody thinks breakout. Chris Hogan, the number two receiver in New England, Mike Gillisley or Rex Burkhead, and James White, those are your three running backs. And you got Tom Brady, who is, at some point in time, he's going to start looking like a 40-year-old man out there. You're banking on 40-year-old Tom Brady playing all 16 games? I think we're going to see Jimmy Garoppolo at some point this year. But, again, this is where Belichick earns his money, because this guy can spot talent. He can figure out a guy who may not be a superstar, but he can put him on the field and put him in a position to succeed where other coaches in the league just can't. I mean, I'm not going to go so far as to say he's got the Midas touch, but look at LeGarrette Blount. Nobody thought he had anything left in the tank, and Belichick brings him in. Boom. It's very good for New England the last couple of years. And a lot of people out, look, I'll tell you this right now. I've got him in two of my fantasy leagues because I think I'm arrogant enough to believe that I can speak Belichickese. And he has talked down Mike Gillisley a lot. So, sort of doghouse, poor boy, needs to do better at this, needs to do better at that. I got my fingers crossed that I'm translating this correctly into he's going to be the guy, the goal line guy. They're feeding him, vulturing the touchdowns. We'll see whether that plays out or not. The Bears. I know there's a lot of people here in Eastern Iowa who care very deeply about the Chicago Bears. When do we see Mitch Trubisky as the starting quarterback?
Not if.
Look, Mahomes in Kansas City, Trubisky in Chicago. And let's just for giggles throw C.J. Beathard in there in San Francisco. Who do we see start a game first? Preferably not due to injury, just because the other guy in front of him sucks. It's Trubisky.
I think so too. But John Fox is going to be incredibly hesitant to make this move because I think partially Trubisky is kind of that lifeline. As long as he's on the bench for Fox and Ryan Pace to buy more time in Chicago. And the narrative that's already started based on lack of performance by Mike Glennon in the preseason and the performance of Mitch Trubisky in the preseason, the wheels have already started moving. This quarterback controversy is already in motion. And I said, you can't play Mitchell Trubisky in year one and expect him to maximize his potential in the league. I thought it would ruin him, especially with the lack of weapons around him. The offensive line is okay, but they've been injured over the past couple of years. They're patchwork at best. They're not used to playing next to each other. You just can't plug him in there after 1 year of starting in college football and expect him to do well. So for Bears fans' sake, I hope he doesn't play this year. But just for the sake of this argument, I probably say that C.J. Beathard will start a game before all of them, and that will be because of poor performance in front of him. San Francisco.
Jake on the text line says the only team that can dethrone the Patriots are the Steelers, and I don't think their defense can seal the deal. Give me the Pats even without Edelman.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are the most talented team in the NFL on paper offensively, and it's not particularly close. They have a franchise quarterback. They have one of the best running backs in the league. They have one of the best wide receivers in the league. And Martavis Bryant is finally able to go and not suspended. They've been they've been pulled apart offensively the last couple of years because of injuries and suspensions. Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger was injured a couple of seasons ago. Martavis Bryant was suspended all of last year. So I'll believe it when I see it with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because on paper they look just as talented. Probably more, definitely more talented offensively than the New England Patriots, but can that defense ever adjust to the Patriots, because they haven't been able to in the playoffs at all?
By the way, speaking of Ben Roethlisberger, if you're listening to this program and you are blocked by him on Twitter, text us at 319-366-1600. I want to know if I'm the only one. I know I'm not the only one. There are a bunch of people randomly blocked on Twitter for Ben Roethlisberger. He either does this himself or he has somebody that scours Twitter looking for references to his name and preemptively blocks people. Which I said last week, I hope that one day I can be rich enough where I'm paying somebody to do that for me. I've got a guy on the payroll for me who tries to prevent me from seeing anything negative being said about me.
I was asking Kyle the last time he subbed in for you. We were actually soliciting these stories of being blocked by famous people. Is Big Ben your best story?
It's not even a story, because I don't remember tweeting anything negative about him. I don't think that I've tweeted anything about him being a horrible human being who most likely has sexually assaulted numerous women, according to allegations that he somehow continues to get around. I think I shared the story about talking to him in his dorm room when he was at Miami for an interview, where at the time Miami was like, yeah, here's his phone number. It was his dorm room phone number. He had just gotten back from training table. And here you are several years later, a decade plus later, looking back on that going, well, that's kind of surreal, talking to one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. When he was I think that was his sophomore year. It was one of the games Iowa played that series with Miami, the three-game series when Terry Heppner was the coach there. It was not the 21-3 game at Kinnick Stadium, though. I think it was the previous year when Iowa went to Oxford, Ohio, which was a road trip from hell. And that also is the genesis behind my fantasy football team name in the Daily Iowan Football League. I'm the Shirtless Podolaks, because that was the game that Ed Podolak, Iowa's color commentator, spent the second half of the game broadcasting shirtless because it was so hot in the Miami press box. They had no air conditioning. They had these two giant box fans, and they opened one door on one end of the press box, and they opened the other door on the other end, and they turned the fans on, hoping to circulate the air, push the air through. And Ed, talking to then athletic director Bob Bowlesby, shirtless at halftime on the Hawkeye Radio Network. You want to talk about don't stare straight into the eclipse and you'll burn your eyes. I don't think I'll ever forget that sight. 4:54, we'll step aside and take a quick break. Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com said to join us in hour number two. Also, we've got your chance to get the Let Out tickets to see Get the Let Out next week at the Paramount Theater. Your chance to win coming up before 5:30 tonight. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way after this. It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by Hertine and Stocker Jewelers on the Ped Mall in downtown Iowa City, 101 South Dubuque Street. Stop in and congratulate Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate on 70 years in business. One of them is always there. Wilson Contreras may soon be rejoining his teammates on the north side of Chicago. The Cubs catcher, who hit the disabled list August 11th after injuring his right hamstring, is set to join the Myrtle Beach Pelicans during the Carolina League playoffs tonight on a rehab assignment and could return to the team as soon as this weekend, according to ESPN's Jesse Rogers. It's Contreras' first trip back to the minor leagues since joining the big league club in 2016, that after spending 8 years in the team's farm system. Without Contreras in the lineup, much of the catching duties have fallen on veteran Alex Avila, who played hero last night when his broken bat triple plated the lone run in a 1-0 win at Pittsburgh. The victory kept the Cubs in front of St. Louis by 4 games and the Brewers by 4.5 in the race for the NL Central pennant. Oxford, Ohio is snooze city, according to 9048 on the text line. I remember two things about that trip to Oxford, Ohio. Well, three things. One,
very nice campus.
It's not the easiest place in the world to get to. There were a disproportionate number of, I'm not saying good looking, I'm saying beautiful women that went to that school.
Yes, there are.
And there were a lot of frat boys.
That's also true.
And that's what I remember about Oxford, Ohio from the 2002-2003, whatever year that was that Iowa made that road trip there. And other than that, couldn't tell you much about Oxford, Ohio, other than the fact, as I mentioned, it's a little bit difficult to get to. It reminds me of the time when I was in college, I got to meet Bob Woodward of Woodward and Bernstein fame. We picked him up at the Eastern Iowa Airport, and he had a difficult time getting to Cedar Rapids and landing on, I think he came in on a Delta flight and there were a couple delays and things, and he got off the plane and the first thing that he said was, it's easier to get to Paris than it is to get to Cedar Rapids. 319-366-1600. Let's keep it here. We'll send it over to Kyle. He's got your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell continues to garner recognition for his 14-tackle, 2-sack performance against Wyoming last weekend, today receiving the Lott Impact Trophy Player of the Week. This award is in addition to Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, Walter Camp National Defensive Player of the Week, and the Bednarik Award Player of the Week. The Iowa men's basketball team released its TV schedule today, announcing it will play on BTN 14 times, the first of which will be hosting Penn State on December 2nd, on an ESPN platform 8 times, including the Cy-Hawk game in Ames on December 7th, as well as on FS1 twice and BTN Plus and BTN To Go 6 times. The Colonels claimed Game 1 of their Midwest League Western quarterfinal last night 6-5. Lewin Diaz fittingly scored the go-ahead run on a single by Jimmy Kerrigan in the 8th. He also led the team with 3 doubles and 4 RBI. The series moves to Kane County tonight, and the Colonels have a chance to clinch the best-of-3 series with ace Clark Beaker on the mound, taking on Sam McWilliams beginning at 6:35. Tonight after the show, we've got Scott Unash on the call for Dubuque Hempstead and Cedar Rapids Kennedy at Veterans Memorial Stadium. That'll be on 1600 AM, the historic main gym. And we've also got the inaugural regular season game of the new NFL year. That's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the defending world champion Patriots on 106.3 and 107.5 FM. All that beginning right after the show.
Who did we keep you from drafting in your mock draft, which you were doing on the other side of the glass?
I don't know. I just had a big run on receivers.
What round were you in?
I was about to be the third and moving over into the fourth.
I'm deathly sorry that we interrupted your mock draft. I know the preparations for the KGYM.
Yep.
The inter-office draft are underway tonight. Lambeau has the first pick.
It's open
draft.
Already?
Aaron Rodgers.
She's going to take Aaron Rodgers. Of course she is. Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com said to join us. Coming up next, we'll talk Iowa, Iowa State. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show coming your way right here on KGYM.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication,